That was
weird. That caused confusion.
Oh, precious moron.
Hello everyone, welcome to Office Hours, and we have a special show for you today. Where? Are you ready? I'm once again donning the boxing gloves, once again stepping into the ring after dealing with Blamblast a couple of weeks ago. Now it's my turn to square up against Carl Benjamin. But also, there are other criticisms that have been made by Millennial Woes on Substack, and also by kind of indirectly by Morgoth's Review, which I will address in the course of things as people are trickling in. I mean, one of the things I have seen both in this video by Carl and in the Morgoth tweet is people keep on talking about the elite theorists. Who are the elite theorists? As if this is an identifiable crew. Well, I went looking. I went searching high and low for the elite theorists. Who is this motley band? And I found that I tracked down this picture. There they are, the elite theorists, look. There you are. There they are. I'm going to address every argument, and to show you that I've taken this seriously, I have made an autistic PowerPoint slide where I look at all of the arguments that have been put forth and I offer direct counters to each of them. There are 10 arguments and 10 counters. Can't wait to get through these. And look, really, I have spent all morning putting those slides together, so I hope you appreciate them. But as people are trickling in, why don't we play an ad? I will drink my Pepsi Max. What ad shall we play? Why not? Let's go with... it's been a while since I played the Ultra Bundle. Let's do the Trivium. I might do both. I might do the Trivium and the Ultra Bundle. Let's do both.
Academic Agency.
Ultra Bundle! 7 courses! Shakespeare! Research! The Trivium! Economics! Politics! Ultra Bundle, buy it now.
All right. So what is the big furore? Well, I wrote a couple of Substack articles recently, which to provide some context, obviously I covered this story last week of Rupert Lowe making an offer. And I wrote this Substack article, which I will share here. You can see I called it Sloppilism Strikes Back. It was about, there's old T-1000, look. It was the end of Restore Britain and the coming of British MAGA. And I also wrote another article that has been quite widely shared and liked as well. The Impossibility of Political Organization for the Online Right. Where I go into some of the issues that plague online politics in general. Unfortunately, these lessons, people remain stubbornly resistant to understanding what I'm talking about in these sorts of articles, even though they are demonstrably true. So what's happened is that in the interim, in the last 7 days, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, has basically gone a little bit ballistic, and it's all out hammer and tongs attacking Charlie Downs. They found some tweet that he made a few months back, and they're claiming that he's like a rabid anti-Semite. We will cover all of this, because this is being taken now as conclusive proof that I was wrong, because Farage basically demanded that Rupert Lowe fire Charlie Downs before they make any sort of deal. And the fact that he said, no, I'm not going to fire him, has basically caused people to say, you know, you were premature in your assessment. What you said, the British MAGA, the big tent, isn't going to happen. Well, I'm afraid people have got short memories, and people get rather too caught up in individual news cycles. They get, you know, they run away with emotion, and they forget all of the things that we've witnessed and all of the little storylines that we've seen come and go. Might I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, might I remind you that we've been round this go-round 100 times before with Donald Trump, okay? We've been round this go-round. Think of all the different things, all the times they came for Trump, all the different little storylines. And in fact, speaking of Substack, it was Greg Johnson quoting the Woes article. Woes says, "This is not a time for fatalism or lofty detachment. It is a time for imagination, courage, and audacity." Johnson says, "Millennial Woes says, enough with the black pills." Well, I'm old enough to remember, Greg, how you were very enthusiastic for Donald Trump and MAGA, and you were very Pollyanna-ish about the prospects for it. I said there, this was all said over and over and over and over again to shout down anyone who pointed out the truth about Trump, yet it remained the truth. Frankly, there is nothing more hyper-real and illusory than the concept of morale when applied to internet collectives. Not even a crowd, but the postmodern pastiche of a crowd. You do not even attain the status of Gustav Le Bon's The Crowd, because you're not even a crowd. I remember being told in DMs, it's bad for morale though. Let us cope a little bit longer. It's bad for morale. It's bad for morale. Okay, well, you coped. And where did, like, what happened? What happened? I mean, the stuff about Trump was still true, is the point. It was still true. And so it will be, I'm afraid, with what I have said, because the structure of the thing has not changed. This little news story here, we will analyze in some detail, but the structure of what I talked about has not changed. The electoral map has not changed. The first past the post system has not changed. And I would explain the mechanisms of why I've reached my conclusions as we go forward. Now, I want to fill everybody in, because I realize that a lot of people, having left Twitter, good on you, you should leave Twitter now, and with my daily lectures now, a lot of people rely on this show, this single show, Office Hours, for their news. So I found a video that actually sums up the situation perfectly. It is by this channel called True Brit, or True Brit Media, and I want to review that before we look at, we're going to look at Carl.
I'm aware that
we're going to look at this video from Carl, and we're also going to have a, I'm going to I'm also going to respond to arguments made by Carl's arguably nemesis, Millennial Woes. I don't know if they've made up yet, but I feel like they never made up. I think they're still not friends, Carl and Woes. I kind of don't mind either of them, but I disagree with them on this issue. And I think Carl also touches on the tweet made by Morgoth, which I kind of address in my autistic slideshow, which I'm gonna do all in due course. But first of all, let us watch True Brit Media as I sit by Pepsi Max, because he's going to fill us in on what all of this is about. Why are people sending me trophies? Why are people sending me jewels? What on earth is a jewel? What's a jewel when it's at home? Somebody explain to me why people are sending me jewels. Right? What is a jewel? Are these actual super chats, or are they just... I don't get what the jewel is. I don't like the jewel. Is that money? If it's not money, I'm not reading them out. What an absolutely awful feature that is. What is it? I don't know what a jewel is. By the way, I'll also mention before I get going, speaking of erstwhile The Elite Theorists, I did see before I came on air, and I've given it a share in the community tab there, that Scrump and Evelyn are going to do a Fell For It Again Awards, the Fellies, this evening at 7. I'll be tuning into that. Hopefully they don't give me one for my sins. Maybe I deserve one. We will see. But anyway, I did note that lots of people in Woz's comments were accusing me of heel turning on Restore. I didn't think I've heel turned. I gave my diagnosis. I said what the party needed to do. They didn't do any of those things. None of that stuff has changed, really, due to this kind of hyper-real news cycle we've been experiencing. And I'll explain exactly the mechanisms of all of this as we go forward. But let us watch this True Brit Media.
Hello and welcome on to True Brit Media. Ever since Rupert Lowe has given that offer to Nigel Farage about Restore Britain and Reform coming together... And
How can I turn this jewels thing off? What is this nonsense? I want to turn off jewels. I'm not reading out jewels until I find out that it's actually money. Right? I don't like... This is not... I'm turning this off. I want to turn off jewels. I will accept super chats. I'm not reading out this jewel bullshit. It's really, really irritating. What are jewels? I'm turning this off. What are jewels? Super annoying in YouTube. What are they? Jewels, 100 jewels cost $1.98 for a viewer to purchase. Well, they are worth... why are people buying these things? Why is it jewels now? Let's just stick with the money amounts. Why is it jewels? Why do you do this to me, Google? Why are you doing this? Okay, fair enough. If people have paid money, I'm going to have to read them out as well. Lord, help me.
Beating the left. It's been nothing but a soap opera. It's been like watching an episode of Coronation Street or EastEnders, and this has got to stop. As once again, more twists and turns have happened where neither party seem to be agreeing with each other.
Right. I am not reading anything less than 1,000 jewels. I'm not reading. You can spam jewels as much. I am not reading anything less than 1,000 jewels. If you want to send an old-fashioned super chat, I read that. I'm not doing this jewels. I am not a 12-year-old, okay? 1,000 jewels up, I'll do it. But I am not doing this jewels thing. End of. All right, carry on.
Or focusing on the main objective, which is making sure that a right-wing party comes into power. If you are fed up with this and you want to see one party, one nation, country first, then hit the like button, subscribe, and get in the comment section below, as I'm going to bring you the latest twists and turns of what's exactly been happening on this drama. So let's just put it down first again. Rupert Lowe offered Nigel Farage almost like a coalition. If they can agree on said policies, come together, we can be one party and we can defeat the left. That should be first. Country first, yourself second. Farage then responded in a way that people aren't happy with. And this has been further developed as of this. Reform UK leader Nigel Farage has ruled out any deal with Restore Britain unless Rupert Lowe expels Charlie Downs from the party. Nigel Farage has accused Charlie Downs of anti-Semitism after the Restore Britain spokesperson insinuated that Farage had been bought by Jewish supporters. Now, this is a massive claim, and it's also a little bit tongue-in-cheek because we all know that Farage has also expelled Rupert Lowe from his own party. So what Farage did to Rupert, he's now asking Rupert to do to someone else. Well, obviously, that is a massive thing to do. That would probably turn the nose up of every Restore Britain supporter and completely disbandon the party once and for all. And a lot of people would leave.
I've just turned gifts off. I've just turned that jewels thing off. Stop it. All right, I'm not having it. Nonsense. Anyway, let's carry on.
And not have any faith in Rupert. Well, just to confirm this, Farage is not doubling down. And he said this morning. Have a look at this video here of what Farage makes on these comments and make up how you feel about this. Listen to what Farage says.
I'm always happy to meet people and talk to people within reason. Within reason. But I do think it's fair to say that there are one or two people in the orbit of the upper echelons of that party who, if I sat down and talked to, I think our members and our voters would be utterly shocked that I'd done it. I mean, don't forget, you know, I have fought the far right for over a quarter of a century. You know, I took on the BNP for years, and it was a tough thing to do, but I won. You know, I've always made sure that political parties that I've run have absolutely been non-sectarian, non-racially prejudiced, and I've insisted on that for year after year after year. And I wouldn't do anything to jeopardize that, not because politically it wouldn't work for me, because it would actually be the wrong thing to do. So we can talk to Rupert Lowe. It's fine.
Now, let's just pause here a minute. I want to take you on a little trip down memory lane, because this is not quite the full truth from old Nige here. If you have a look on this page here, the campaign against anti-Semitism, there is a whole list of quote-unquote incidents of Farage talking about the quote-unquote Israeli lobby, of quoting about very powerful lobbies, quote-unquote Jewish lobby, he was accused of anti-Semitism when he criticized George Soros. He was accused of anti-Semitism lots of times. And then, if you cast your mind back to just last year, there was deeply shocking revelations of racism and anti-Semitism by Farage when he was at school. When, in his younger days, he was quoted as saying Hitler was right. And he was urged by various different pressure groups to explain himself and to apologize. You must apologize. Jewish students demanded an apology from Nigel Farage over his alleged anti-Semitism. All of this happened in November 2025 and in early December 2025, to the extent where on the 5th of December, Holocaust survivors urged Farage to apologize over his alleged anti-Semitic remarks. Very surprising then to learn just a single week later, one week later, I will repeat, 1 week later, Unheard ran this article, Why British Jews Could Switch to Reform UK, by Samuel Rubinstein. Now, why do I show this? Why do I show this, ladies and gentlemen? Let's see if you can put together the logic of why I show it. Okay. In fact, I'll get my little slideshow up and I'll take you to the first slide. Because these people operate much like the mafia. You better put Johnny Fontaine in your movie, or you're going to get a horse's head in your bed. You better do it. It's the cost of doing business. It's the cost of doing business. And we talk about the iron ore of oligarchy. They operate like a mafia. And Farage was always did this kind of one toe in, one toe out thing. He was always a little bit lukewarm on the whole issue. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough for Trump, and it's not good enough for Farage. 100% compliance. My way or the highway. For me, everything. For you, you get nothing. You lose, good day, sir. That's how these people have always done business. Always, always, always. So, it is important to remember that little bit of backstory when we consider this whole thing. Because that wasn't the first time that these attacks had come for Nigel. In fact, Nigel was subject to several waves. That was just the last one that I can remember. There were previous iterations of that. And if anybody's got a long enough memory, you will remember that Trump was called this over and over and over and over again. Until in the end, he did somehow capitulate. And in the end, MAGA has become what it is now. And in the end, Nigel Farage doesn't say things like that anymore. Instead, Nigel Farage says things like, oh, that's the old theory. It's the old theory. Anyway, let's carry on.
You know, but it...
You've got to think of it as a shit test. They're going to keep on, just like a woman shit tests a man all the time. They're going to keep poking, shit test, all the time. If it doesn't work this time, they'll come back again. If it doesn't work this time, they'll come back again. And again. And again. Let's see. Just keep on testing. That's how it works. That's just what. It's just how this particular mafia operates. Like a kind of shit-testing woman. The only person I have ever seen to successfully withstand them all has been Tucker Carlson. To the extent where one has to wonder if Tucker Carlson has got special protections because they've done everything. They've gone all out to try to destroy Tucker Carlson. And he's come back fighting, and he continues to fight every day, to the extent where I wonder if his old ties with the CIA give him some sort of immunity. But apart from Tucker Carlson, I've never seen anybody withstand that particular game, because Nigel Farage, clearly, between the 5th of December and the 12th of December, was it? 1 week later, basically cucked. He finally capitulated. You can't just be half in, half out. You have to take it all the way in, good and proper. And then you can be part of the family. Now you can be part of the club. You're part of the firm now, Nige. But stop playing ball, going to get the horse's head in the bed. So anyway, let us continue.
when you have co-founders, etc., putting out what I would call the old theory that we probably haven't heard in this country since 1936, and you have other adjacent publicly supported...
Well, I mean, since 1936 and also since all those times that you made reference to it yourself in all of those incidents that I just outlined before you magically had an about turn at some point between the 5th of December and the 12th of December, 2025.
People demanding that all Jews be removed from the country, just as an example. So the condition I would put on it is those people would have to be out of the inner circle. And I think that's, you know, that's that for me.
How can anybody talk about elite theory, right? Elite theory. They are literally talking about the inner circle. They are literally talking about, we care about who is in the decision-making apparatus. And if you are not compliant in the key decision-making apparatus, then you're unacceptable to us, which is obviously perfectly predicted by the iron law of oligarchy. This is the cost of doing business. This is how it works. It couldn't be more transparent, couldn't be easier to see. And I'll get on to future prospects when we get to them, but it is remarkable to watch this play out in real time.
Would be the only way we could sensibly proceed. And I suspect many of those who say restore in answer to a poll are perhaps not quite aware. You know, they see Rupert, they see this farmer from Gloucestershire. I think they know he makes sense. But those he's got around him, I think they'd be pretty horrified too.
Interesting. Listen, when you hear Farage say that, he's trying to back up his point. He's not doubling down. He's completely saying, listen, I will talk to Restore Britain, but the upper circle, aka, without naming names, Charlie Downs, must go. He has too strong of views. He doesn't like his anti-Semitic comments. And basically, it's not going to work. Now, that leaves Rupert Lowe with a predicament. That leaves Rupert Lowe with a decision to make.
Now, mark my words, right? He hasn't thrown Charlie under the bus, right? Which is good to see. And to be frank, I don't think Charlie deserves any of this. I think they've made, I mean, really, it's slim pickings. If that's, you know, if that tweet he made back in February is the best they can do. But remember, what he actually said is neither here nor there, right? They've got, they've spotted someone who's not compliant. Get him out. Rupert, we can work with. We like the cut of that Alistair guy you've got doing your tweets. We like the cut of his jib. We don't mind Tommy Robinson so much either, but that Downs, he's called Gaza a genocide. That is unacceptable. This is the red line. Okay, you can see what's happened. You can see, you know, what's happening here. And at the moment, Rupert, true to my own assessment of him, I always said it's a character judgment. When the question was asked of Nigel, he immediately cucked. When the question was asked of Rupert, he has not immediately cucked. Okay, so let's just be fair. He has not immediately cucked. However, there is more than one way to skin a cat. And this is simply the opening salvo. We are on a trajectory that means that this issue is going to resolve, and it's going to resolve fairly soon. By the time of the election, trust me, all of this stuff will be ancient history. And the people who are treating it like the most important thing in the world right now will have long forgotten it and will be in one of those camps trying to, quote unquote, save the country from the terrible socialist Andy Burnham. Soon, it's going to be a question of, Mark my words. Remember where you heard it. Look, you're a patriot. You're a patriot. You care about the future of this country, don't you? Patriot. You have to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing and put the country above your own personal ambitions. Put the country before the party. Put the country before your ego. And do what's best for your nation. Do your duty. Because if you don't, it's going to be a fate worse than death under the evil socialist Andy Burnham. That's going to be the pitch for the restorers. At the moment, you're causing a problem. Got to have to do the right thing. Go on, Rupert. Do the decent thing. The English thing to do. The patriotic thing to do. Go on, we'll make sure we take care of you. You know, you can sit on all the committees and whatnot. But just do the decent thing. That's coming. That's coming down the pike. That'll be like another angle that is worked soon.
Country, own personal growth. Is Charlie Downs too much? Is Charlie Downs too far? Well, this is how Rupert Lowe has responded. And I think Rupert Lowe has come in with a very, very...
Now, I want to mention something before we get going. Notice how Nigel is still not ruling out the possibility of working with Rupert. Nigel is not saying categorically, no, I won't work with Restore. He's just laying down some conditions. He said, I can only work with Restore if they're regime compliant, basically. And at the minute, they're not regime compliant because you got, you know, quote unquote extremists knocking around in the quote unquote higher echelons. But he's still leaving the door open for something to be done. Now, with that in mind, let's have a look at Rupert's response, which I think is also interesting when we come to have a look at it.
Strong account. Here it is. It says the following. Reform and Nigel have finally made a response to our offer in the Daily Telegraph. I will go through their four conditions. Okay. The Reform chairman, Lee Anderson, has said Reform will not step aside in any constituencies. Reform should always be on the ballot paper, meaning that Reform plan to run in every seat, even if there's an arrangement. This is not a constructive start.
Right, now remember, when two sides are negotiating, they start with the strongest position first, and then they back down and cuck. Like when Iran has its conditions and America has its conditions, and, you know, Trump is maximalist and Iran a maximalist, and then they both end up having to cuck to some degree to come to some sort of arrangement or agreement, you know, until it's wrecked again by, you know, various actors. But that is how that is how the negotiation is always done. Restore opened the negotiation with a set of maximalist demands. And Reform have opened the negotiation with a set of maximalist demands, which then they have to progressively work down until they get to some sort of agreement. The fact that they've started maximalist doesn't mean that they're not open to a negotiation. And the fact is that if you have a look at the tone of Rupert here, he's still not categorically ruling out working with Nigel. And Nigel is still not categorically ruling out working with Rupert. So why is all this being done publicly is the question. It's being done publicly so people can understand why certain adjustments are going to be made, or that you could say everybody's being primed for, you know, to kind of form a view on it, And remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Okay? Remember, the end goal is not specifically a merger between Reform and Restore and Tories. The end goal is a big British MAGA style tent that means that there's only one real option on the map, come what may, when the election comes. And also, which means that everybody's more or less on the same page. Now, if that means cutting off some difficult edges or sidelining, basically just through destroying Restore, i.e. nuke them off the map through, you know, the sorts of attacks that we've seen, that's one angle. Or it's just leverage and pressure to make them cuck in some way, that's another angle. Doesn't really matter how it's achieved. The point is, you know where the end destination is. The end destination is all singing, all dancing, British MAGA style clown show on the right against, you know, whatever it is that Andy Burnham is on the left. Let's carry on.
And again, difficult when Rupert responds to this, because this isn't exactly what Farage is saying. This is responding to someone else, aka Lee Anderson. But I get his point that if there's going to be that arrogance and reform, that it's always reform, 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 then they're not going to come to an agreement on that. So they've been realistic. Clearly, the whole point of any arrangement would be not to divide.
I mean, arrogance, but let's think about it. Restore did make a set of five demands of reform, including don't put former Tories in the cabinet. Okay, so in a way, Nigel saying, well, you got to get Charlie out of your upper echelons is not that different from Rupert saying, well, you have to get Suella Braverman and Jenrick out of yours. So there's some tit for tat here, right? There's some tit for tat. They're laying out their starting points. All negotiations start like that.
By the electoral force. That would mean certain Restore Britain candidates standing aside to ensure a sensible and pragmatic approach to our voting system. If reform are not willing to reciprocate in any constituencies, any at all, the offer I've made is entirely redundant. And I like that from Rupert, that makes sense. They've also said we must endorse Farage to be Prime Minister and allow the failed Conservative ministers to be again be part of a future cabinet. Contrary to reports, I've never said that reform must dump anybody. This is not my place to do so. It is their party. It is entirely Reform's choice who they run to be MPs or employed. It is putting these same ministers who fell Britain into a future cabinet, which Restore Britain has helped to empower, that I take issue with. Restore Britain will not be responsible for handling Nadeem Sawari, Nadine Dorries, and others, some of the most powerful jobs in the country, even Robert Jemrick, for example. Basically, how could we put failed Tories back into power? You can't do it. And Restore Britain don't want that. And then here we go, the final part, the main point here, the drama here. Farage and Reform have also said that Restore Britain must outright sack Charlie Downs, putting a young Christian man out of work just as he is looking to build his life and start a family.
Yeah, but remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Outright sack Charlie Downs, okay, that's the maximum position. What about simply just relocating him, though? And giving his job to someone else. Just simply sideline him, keep him on, but give his role to someone else. Doesn't have to make him unemployed. He's still on the payroll, but now somebody else is doing that job. See? Again, the maximalist starting point and where things could possibly go.
That is simply not how I operate. But I want to be clear. If a sensible reciprocal arrangement can be found on our proposed policy platform, we'd be willing to stand our Restore Britain candidates aside in certain seats in order to defeat the left-wing alliance. For any political party, that is a big step to make, country before party. Reform have just outright rejected doing the same. If that position continues, then this whole exercise is futile. And a deal will mean give and take on both sides. I've been in business long enough to know that. Our original offer was focused on policy. Their response is about personality. After all that bad blood, if we focus on personality and ego, we'll get nowhere.
Listen to his language, though, right? He's still trying to get somewhere. They're still he's still realistically talking about this happening. And Farage basically was, so they're laying out their stalls, but they're still talking about it. They have it that neither of them said absolutely no way, it's never going to happen. Now, why is that? The reason for that is for the core reason that I laid out in my article. The first past the post system means that, as things stand, Labour win. Unless the parties of the right, Tories, Reform and Restore, coalesce into one force. Now, there's a video by Sargon.
I'm aware that I have.
By Carl Benjamin. And there is this article by Millennial Woes. Okay. Now, rather than watch through this, which will take hours, right, or read all of this, I have summarized their core arguments as well as arguments made by Morgoth's review in this tweet. Let me just find the tweet by Morgoth that is made here. Now, I don't know whether Morgoth had me in mind when he said this, but I'll just read what Morgoth said. He said, elite theorists and schizos have been proven repeatedly wrong about Restore. The problem isn't assuming, blah, blah, blah. So I think actually Morgoth is probably responding to comments made by Panama Hat and also by Blam Blast Britannica and Scrump and Evelyn, who are the other people pictured here. But I will just mention at the outset, I did not write off Restore from the start. I gave them a chance. I publicly supported them. I gave lots of recommendations. I fought with the Pimlico Journal and various others on their behalf. But over time, I saw the direction of travel. Over time, I saw what was happening. Over time, well, you can read my diagnosis in the aforementioned Substack article or on last week's video. I came to see the writing on the wall. My instincts, you know, not everybody's cut out for this. I mean, maybe the real thing is that I am just not cut out for this political analysis lark. I am not cut out for it. Maybe I should just, you know, do my lectures and just stop doing this altogether, which I will strongly consider, right? So let us not discount the possibility that I am just fundamentally inept at political analysis and that I just get everything wrong. Okay, let's just put that on the table as a possibility. So there is that possibility. But my reasons for thinking this, I shall now outline. And I do not believe that this current media storm around Charlie Downs and you know, the thing that everybody's focused on, the current thing, the latest thing, the hyper-real thing, is actually going to determine what happens here. Neither does it change any of the analysis. You know, you can read the Woes article. You can read, I mean, we're back to, well, how are people feeling? The vibe shift and all that sort of stuff. People have to kind of start to understand that all of these things that we're talking about are castles made of sand at the end of the day. You can read my article about the online right basically being unable to organize realistically. And so really, what we're currently witnessing is a kind of miniature version of what happened with MAGA 2 years ago. And, you know, another go round of all those same arguments there with Captive FEMA and all the rest of it. Okay. Now, granted, the situation is a little bit different because, you know, the variables are different. And I wouldn't say Rupert and friends are, you know, nakedly compromised in the same way that Trump is. However, just the raw reality of British electoral politics and the pro wrestling storyline that we're already embarked on now, right? This has become a media reality. Everybody's talking about this, you know, Telegraph are running like five stories an hour about it, mean that come what may, it's going to be the big slop, all singing, dancing, big tent, British MAGA. And, you know, I will as I suggested in the original article, I think Connor Tomlinson will support it. And I think Carl Benjamin ultimately will support it. Let us now have a look at the arguments and counter arguments. So, argument number one is that the fact that these attacks are happening is proof positive that absorption won't happen. The argument is that because these media attacks have happened, it shows that the system is scared, quote unquote, of Restore. The system is scared of Restore. No, it's not. The system is not, quote unquote, scared of Restore. The system is trying rather to scare Rupert Lowe and to scare the operators of Restore into compliance through mafia tactics. That's actually what's happening. That is the actual power relationship here, not the other way around. Second, that Farage has demanded Downes' removal. And third, the fact that Lowe has refused immediately to expel Downes shows, you know, defiance, right, in the face of all of this. But, I think people have to have longer memories. Think of all the times they came from Trump for Trump and all the times Trump fought back, okay? Think of, as well, the fact that this is an opening salvo in an ongoing process by which they want to make sure that whatever's left on the map at the end of it is regime compliant. So my counters to all of these are: the pressure functions as a continuous shit test on boundaries. What they're saying is, this all singing, all dancing, clown show, sloppyism that we want is not allowed to have people talking about the quote-unquote Gaza genocide. Unacceptable. We cannot have people inside the tent pointing out that, you know, there's a lot of lobby interest here. Unacceptable. That has to go. If you want to play ball, that's the cost of doing business. So, as I mentioned, Lowe was very clear about outright sacking Charlie Downes. Well, when he sits down with sinister Alistair, right, and whoever else is knocking around there, maybe he has a chat with dear old David Starkey and the various other, you know, Tory adjacent types who are in and around Lowe as well. Maybe he might figure, well, okay, obviously if I sack Charlie, that will be the end of this because it will kill all the momentum. He knows that. It would kill all online momentum. It would just kill Restore dead if he fired Charlie, right? But they could just quietly reallocate him and nobody would know, like, because it wouldn't be news, right? It wouldn't be news. They'd just quietly rejig who's doing what there and let that be known to who needs to be known. Because I happen to not only watch Connor Tomlinson and Carl and so on, I watch the Spectator podcast and I watch the New Statesman podcast as well, who are, you know, those people's lifeblood is in gossipy Westminster politics, inner circle, you know, inner bubble politics. They love it. Well, it was suggested on the Spectator podcast that certain figures like Michael Gove and various other Tory grandees and insiders actually have some sort of deal on with Lowe, that they're kind of friendly with him. we know that Lowe is, for, you know, this is this conspiracy theory that Lowe is a Tory plant, right? Probably goes too far. So in reform circles, but there's something there suggesting that, you know, there are carrots and sticks, and you know, there may be more than one way to come at this. Thirdly, isolation costs have historically forced such concessions in the past. Okay, so it's like, look, you know, we want to do something. We want to save the country. Going to have to do the right thing. Going to have to do the right thing somehow. So the media attacks do not prove anything. They simply prove that these people want compliance. Well, we knew that already. And this is a bit of pressure, a bit of leverage. Second argument put forward by Carl and by Woz and by various other people is that the peace offer did not close the independent path for Restore. The argument here is that the peace offered stalled negotiation, not integration, that Farage's ultimatum on Down was firmly refused. Continued independence contradicts the absorption narrative. So the very fact that Restore are there, it shows, and that they haven't cucked yet, basically shows that, you know, they're still fighting fit. The party's far from over, etc., etc. I simply say, short-term resistance does not falsify the long-term pattern. There was short-term resistance in every other instance where eventually there's a caving to the iron law. There was resistance from the AOC. There was resistance from Donald Trump. There was resistance from Le Pen. There's always some resistance because people don't like being told what to do. But as I note, both sides have kept the door open for a deal. Why haven't they both just shut the door at this point? Why are they still talking about if there's any realistic prospect of this deal? Because on the face of it, there's no prospect of it, and yet they're still kind of sounding conciliatory despite the rhetoric. If you read between the lines, it's like, yeah, this is still possible. And as I keep on saying, the next move will be, if you're a patriot, you need to do your duty for the country, because there's a greater evil than fighting each other, namely Andy Burnham. The next election is going to be the most important election of our lifetimes. If you don't vote the right way in the next election, the country is ruined forever. This is the last chance to save Britain. Do you want to be the man responsible for not saving Britain because your ego was too big to fall on your sword? That's how history will remember you, as the person who condemned this country to its funeral pyre. Because you wouldn't stand aside. Because you wouldn't get out of the way. Because your pride was too big. Well, now look, we've got an evil communist in number 10 forever. How do I know that? Because that's what every election has been for the past 10, 15 years or something. That was the narrative that got Donald Trump elected against cackling Kamala Harris. Do you remember her? Do you remember? Anyone? Oh, no, it was a bit long ago. It's a bit long ago to remember that. Sorry, guys. That was the narrative that got Boris Johnson elected in 2019. If you don't band together, and if Nigel Farage doesn't stand down and stand aside to let Boris Johnson become the Prime Minister, this country will be condemned to literally becoming the Soviet Union under John McDonnell and Jeremy Corbyn. A fate worse than death. You don't want to be the person responsible for destroying this country, do you, Nigel? Exactly the same logic. Every election, because every election is the most important election of our lifetimes. it's an existential threat to the future as you know it. Next argument that has been put forward is that because of all of this pressure, people have banded together. They've fallen in behind the party that Restore is now more determined than ever. The line on Downs was held with no apologies. There was internal unity, which is strengthened under pressure. And this basic cohesion under attack signals durable independence. That's basically what Woz and Carl said in their own separate ways. Well, what is my counter? One, rallying for the base is normal. Doesn't ensure longevity, really. This is just normal. When you attack, there's a rally around the flag effect. It's kind of normal. Two, politics selects against rigid postures over time. I will bring you back to my recent article on Substack, not the one where I was going on about Restore, but the one where I was talking about why the online right is impossible to organize. Okay? Let me just go through the things necessary to succeed in our political system. I'll just read the opening paragraph. Elite theory is misunderstood as something cold, detached, and structural when it is in fact rooted in an understanding of human psychology down to the level of personality types and character traits. This might be illustrated in actu et in situ by comparing seven character traits necessary for effective political organization with the seven traits that predominate in the online right. Effective organization requires individuals to be cooperative, instrumental, self-effacing, flexible, pragmatic, disciplined, and loyal. The online right is made up exclusively of people who suit the following descriptors: disagreeable, truth-obsessed, ego-driven, principled, moralistic, impulsive, and grifting. Now, you can carry on reading that article in your own time. And if it's not automatically obvious, not everybody's going to have all seven of these traits, okay? So if you're truth-obsessed, you may be less likely to be grifting, for example. Or if you're grifting, you may not be principled. But in general, the people in and around those sorts of circles have these sorts of traits. What I'm saying is those seven things I pointed to are the kind of survivorship criteria in British politics. So, and the other thing is that even if they don't cuck now, or, you know, they stick to their guns, this does not actually rule out some accommodation down the line. Fourth argument is that the numbers, that is, Restore's membership numbers and its growth, disprove forecasts of imminent demise. So the argument is that because Restore survives literally a week after I wrote the article, therefore I'm wrong. Think about what you're saying now. Because they didn't immediately collapse when I published that article, it means I was wrong. Is that true? The project survived the cooperation offer and the pressure on Downs, and continued survival is the most basic test, and it is passing. Okay. My counter is early survival precedes containment. First past the post still stands. Harder energy in time migrates into larger system legible formations. In other words, it will have to be watered down to become regime compliant. Protecting Downs now has never reliably prevented later accommodation. Okay, what I'm saying is now, in the eye of the storm, in the middle of the shitstorm, it would be too much for Lowe to cuck, right? He'd lose face. But that's not to say that in a month's time when nobody's watching, they couldn't be a little bit of a change there. A little bit of adjustment in order to, you know, facilitate the big tent down the line. This was an argument made by Woes and also by Morgoth to some extent, that the cynical model leaves no room for sincerity, right? That basically elite theory assumes that everybody's cynical. It doesn't, by the way, it doesn't. Some people are like this. I wouldn't say I'm one of them, right? I do not assume that all actors are cynical. I do not assume that Charlie is a bad guy or anything like that. And that has not been part of my analysis. I will concede that there are some people in and around these spaces who are a bit more like this. The argument here is that cynical critiques leave no room for genuine commitment, that unconventional leaders deserve consideration as a real force, and that refusing to expel Downs signals loyalty over calculation. The reason why Downs is coming up again and again and again is because this is the data point, right? The analysis is bound by this week's news story on the side of those people making the argument this week. My arguments are looking long-term, and they're looking at the structure, and they're looking at the realities of British politics beyond simply one news cycle. Anyway, my counter to all of this is that, yes, sincerity can help mobilise people, but the system selects against sincerity. Politics, parliamentary politics, selects against sincerity, ultimately. Unless you believe that Robert Jendrick, for example, had a genuine road to Damascus conversion. And that every politician that you see is actually a genuine actor. Pragmatism and compliance define success for larger vehicles. And as I keep on saying, the quiet reassignment of Downs will be the low-cost alternative. And again, it won't be done when it's in the eye of the media storm. It will be done, as all things are in politics, when everybody's, I don't know, watching Trump bomb Iran or something. Or everybody's arguing about Andy Burnham or something like that. It will happen when the news cycle has moved on, not in the moment. Just as we never got that big apology from Nigel in the press. Right? There was never a big news story saying, hey, I apologise for the remarks I made when I was a child and all this sort of stuff. Yet we know it must have happened because of the actual what happened after that, just a week later. So we know it took place. It just didn't take place in it, you know, in the media. Not all things will take place in the media. Yet media stories help to prime the audience for what's going to happen, what's coming, to think in these terms already. Sixth argument that is made is that people who repeatedly make, and this is really what Morgoth was talking about, people who predict failure, basically through their ego to want to be proved right, make the kind of narrative self-fulfilling. They want the prophecy to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Therefore, you then interpret events against the original prediction because you want to double down on it. And then after the fact, you want to say, I told you so, right? And that this is not actually reliable analysis because it's driven by ego fundamentally, right? That's what Morgoth was implying here. And Woes talked about this as well, where it was said, I seem to recall by Woes, that it's a kind of form of cowardice because you don't want to be disappointed. You're trying to protect yourself against disappointment, so you kind of predict the worst outcome. Now, I have to mention that I did not actually predict disaster from Restore from the start. Some people did. Scrump and Evelyn did. Blamblas did. I also want to say that Blamblas and Scrump could do with a little more humility and a little less I told you so energy. Okay, they've got a way about them that rubs people up the wrong way. I think they could tone it down a little bit. I think in an ideal world, people would be more humble and they would, they would have humility. And I should be more humble as well myself. I try to embody humility as much as I can. That said, let's be honest, the project's defenders, the Restore Britain supporters online, aren't exactly shining beacons of humility and being humble, are they? I mean, it's not exactly like, you know, everybody on that side of things, you know, doesn't get kind of high on their own supply as well. So, yeah, I would say that some people get high on their own supply a little bit. And I would say, you know, ego gets involved and things like that. But, you know, kind of everybody's a little bit guilty of that. I would say that the structural diagnosis I have offered is not disproved by the temporary resistance that we're seeing, like in this one news cycle. And if over a long enough time horizon, you see patterns and you see the same things play out and you point them out, not forgetting that fact every time a new cycle comes along is actually, you know, not motivated reasoning either. It's not motivated reasoning, is it? So is it motivate? When I said that the regime wants Trump and Kamala Harris is a jobber, and when I said things like, look, Bill Maher is secretly working for Trump and trying to get Trump in, and Mark Zuckerberg and all of Mark Zuckerberg's friends and all of Bill Maher's friends have switched sides. And they've switched sides chiefly because of October the 7th. Was that motivated reasoning or was that just pointing out what had happened? And then when subsequently Trump 2.0 played out in the way it did, was that my self-fulfilling, I made that happen because I pointed out what was happening at the time. And then after the fact, I said, well, look, of course it's going to play out like this. Actually, it was worse. It was a lot, so much worse than I thought it would be. As I wrote in my article, what I got wrong about Trump. You know, I thought a few things, like I thought that Trump would stop the Ukraine war, for example, that at least we'd get something like that. I was wrong. What I got wrong was the extent of the capture staggered even me. So if anything, looking back, I was too hopeful. I was naive in my diagnosis. Even though I saw what was happening, I gave Trump too much benefit of the doubt. Or I thought the situation was more complex than it really was. And I was wrong about that. Actually, it was a lot more straightforward. And it's so much more straightforward that since Trump became the president again, they've been grabbing your face and rubbing it in the dirt over and over and over and over and over again until you have to say, I can't take it anymore. Okay. All right. We get it. We get it. We know what Trump is. We get it, guys. Yeah, you guys are in power. We get it. All right. No, have it rubbed in your face a little bit more. It's Mark Levin with his hand on the back of your head, rubbing your face in your fell for it again award until you can't take it anymore. All right, I tap out, Mark. We were wrong, okay? I didn't make that happen because I pointed out what was happening back then. And in exactly the same way, when it transpires come the next election, that people have to get behind one quote-unquote right-wing entity to stop the evil Andy Burnham, because that is what is structurally necessary. It wouldn't have been me making it happen, and I would have taken no delight in it happening. I don't take delight in it at all. However, as time goes on, our willingness to, you know, get behind things that will ultimately transpire to be a waste of time and energy should diminish. There should be a law of diminishing marginal returns. Shouldn't there? Otherwise, you end up, I mean, look at Greg Johnson. He's perpetually optimistic about the direction of travel. He's been optimistic for the past 15 years. Well, I guess America's saved then. So, yeah, I really don't understand this whole idea of, oh, well, you know, it's going to become a self-fulfilling narrative. By the same token, it's falsifiable, right? It is easily falsifiable. So if, come what may, in the next election, Restorer on the map, and they are not aligned, there's no pact, there's no alignment between Tories, Reform, and Restore, and they run, and they're actually against each other, and they fight an election against each other, you can say, well, you were wrong, AA. Categorically, you were wrong. And I'll say, okay, fair enough. Incidentally, when it comes to predictions, which I did retire from making for a reason, somebody sent me a little story about the AOC disowning woke 1.0. Oh, that's interesting. If she's disowning woke 1.0 and BLM, that suggests that the woke moment is over. And military recruitment is up. Again. I don't say these things as an ego trip. I say these things because I just observe what's happening and describe what is happening. But in order to do that, you have to zoom out a little bit. You have to not pay attention to the immediate media cycle and zoom out. Kind of survey the landscape and understand what is happening structurally. And a lot of people struggle to do that, which is, and then they forget new cycle after new cycle after new cycle, which is how we end up having the same arguments over and over again. So, seventh argument. Active exclusion is the opposite of soft absorption. So again, they're saying that hostile coverage signals that Restore is being excluded from the boundaries of acceptability. Okay, that refusing the expulsion confirms deliberate marginalization, and the exclusion and quiet absorption cannot operate simultaneously. Well, remember, the end goal is a big tent, all singing, all dancing, where everybody has to fall in behind one candidate. The one way of getting there is through absorption. The other way of getting there is just simply by nuking Restore off the map. So again, opening salvos in an ongoing negotiation. They could go the route of all-out war, all-out hostility, and achieve the same objective, which is that come what may, there isn't any Restore on the ballot. It's just Reform. That's ultimately the end goal. They just want one option there. And the option has to be the sloppiest option. The dynamic resembles a pressure test, not a final break. Both sides privately signal openness. any adjustment can be reframed as patriotic necessity later on. Right, it'd be really interesting to go back and see the backs and forth between Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage before Nigel stood down in 2019. Go back and see what was said. Go back and see the media attacks. Go back and see people digging in at the time. Next argument. Mentioned by Carl, mentioned by Woes, often mentioned in comments and things like that. Elite coordination models overstate the established player's actual capacity. Overreach creates real openings a determined minority can exploit. Some movements did carve durable space outside the dominant formation. Okay, that is basically the elites aren't omnipotent, the elites aren't all powerful. The elites aren't geniuses, etc., etc., etc. The thing is that this whole pattern does not require perfect genius elites. What it requires is incentives in order to discipline the behavior of the actors in the system. So it doesn't require anything other than incentives. Politics selects for system-legible vehicles over uncompromising postures. Temporary openings don't remove structural advantage of larger formations. Okay, I mean, think about what you guys are saying here, right? Let's pretend that Restore stick to their guns and somehow manage to make it to the next election. What do you think is going to happen in that sort of scenario, if they're not able to get Restore off the map or into some sort of deal or into some sort of folding in? Like, what's the end goal for you guys? To try to win the election as Restore? That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It is being framed as completely outside the boundaries of acceptable discourse. And a talking point on both The Spectator, Farage made the point, and The New Statesman made the point that many of Restore's actual voters, didn't really vote for the hardcore policies that everybody thinks of. This is a point also made by Harry Ingledeve. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, or whether that's just these people deluding themselves. But you have to remember there's a possibility that you have hyped yourself up in a kind of self-deluding hyper-real bubble online, and that doesn't actually translate into real life results because it's not real, because it's online. And I think it's important to always keep that in mind. Now, Carl suggested that actually it's me who's done that, and it's him who's operate, like, it's me. I'm the one who's deluded, and he's the one who's operating in reality. I mean, ~25% in Makerfield, it just didn't happen. So, again, that would suggest that the information that you guys are operating on, the assumptions that you're operating on, something is not quite right about them. That maybe you're all talking to yourselves and seeing each other on Twitter and not actually seeing what is actually going on and seeing the perception of things outside that little bubble. And I will go back to the comment that is quoted in Woes, right? Woes says, people have had enough of, so-called black pilling. People have had enough of these kind of impartial diagnoses. That's bad for morale. It kind of makes people feel bad. We've had enough of that. Now's the time to fight. But who's he talking about? Which people is he talking about? Is he talking about 51% of the public necessary to win an election? Or even 25% of the public? or is he talking about a small cadre of shit posters on Twitter? Because the bottom line is, he's really talking about a bunch of shit posters on Twitter. There's a fundamental category error between that has happened over the past several years, where people mistake what is in effect online activity for actual politics. An ersatz crowd, a virtual crowd, a digital crowd for an actual crowd. Dismissing a vehicle still standing is premature, right? Okay, so the vehicle was built in direct response to earlier calls, downs, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's the same stuff over and over again because this is the only argument that was really made. The fact is that this all of this stuff that you're seeing is the opening chapter in a storyline that is going to conclude at some point in the next couple of months. We're on a collision course, and it must be decided, and it will be decided before an election is held. So, I mean, the fact is, I wrote that article last week, like literally 4 days ago. Oh, all right, well, you know, it kind of hasn't happened yet, therefore you're wrong. I mean, come on, guys. And then finally, the refusal of the ultimatum means independence. Really, it was the same argument over and over and over again, wasn't it? It was the same argument over and over and over again. So, look, I think that it is almost inevitable that we're going to see the big tent, British MAGA, at this point. And this little drama that is still playing out is kind of setting the table for this eventuality down the line. It doesn't look like it now. It doesn't look like it now. But lest we forget how many never Trumpers became Trumpers. Lest we forget that Ben Shapiro hated Donald Trump and then became his biggest cheerleader. Do you not remember any of these things? Lest we forget the sheer number of talking heads who absolutely swore blind that they hate Nigel Farage, who now support Nigel Farage. So you think it's impossible for all your favourite influencers to have completely different opinions in about a year from now? Do you? All you need is to have a memory and not to get caught up in individual news cycles to be able to kind of see the wood for the trees. Now, I hope I'm proven wrong. Maybe Rupert Lowe will prove all of this wrong and will truly like galvanize the British nation and overcome all obstacles and all of the shit they're going to throw at him as a kind of new Oliver Cromwell, something like this, an overthrow of the regime, and there's going to be a great victory. Do you see that happening? Because I don't really see that happening. From this vantage point, what I see happening is gradual inching towards some arrangement by which there's only really one option on the map. Now, we could speculate as to why Rupert Lowe has done this and why he is making this edge. It is because, realistically, Restore aren't going to be able to field 400-plus candidates. They're just not going to be able to do it. They don't have the money, they don't have the resources, they don't have the ability to do any of that. They're not going to be able to do much more than create excitement for the American internet. That's what Restore is basically a British export for the American online market to get excited about. For Asmund Gold, who can't actually vote for you, to get excited about. That's what it's transpired as. So one way or the other, the operation needs to be folded up because it can't go anywhere. So that's probably what Lowe has got at the back of his mind. He's, you know, he's a business guy. He's a smart guy. He's probably thinking in the back of his mind, I need to fucking get out of this somehow. How are we going to do it in a way that's going to save face? Well, let's try to make some sort of deal with Nigel. At some point, the Tories and Reform will find a way to work together as well. Why? Because the system demands it. It absolutely demands that there can only be two real options on the map. A left party and a right party, Tory and Labour. Labour is back in business. They've seen off the Greens. Again, channels that were true blue supporters of Hannah Spencer and Zach Polensky, Navarra Media, what's her name? No Limits. What's her name? No Justice MTG. Basically, they've kind of quietly gone back to Burnham, haven't they? Let's face it. Let's face it. It was short-lived. The Green Revolution is over already. And I don't think it's much of a prediction to say so it shall be again over on the right. Anyway, all of this is, I've got, it says 50 super chats. It's not, it's this Jewel nonsense. Right, I'm not reading any of the Jewel stuff. I don't like that. I don't like the Jewel stuff. I'm just going to read actual money super chats. F Hilltop says, ads in the live chat, now Jewels, idiocracy is upon us. They don't really want normal people to be informed. Joseph Steelin says, we were given the Jewel bollocks for free by YouTube. I'm guessing that you still get the cash, so that's why people are sending them. I don't really understand it. What is the Jewel thing? I don't get it, to be honest. Coney says, your recent article is one of the best I've read on Substack this summer. I've seen a few people say that, Coney. A lot of people say it's a contender for Article of the Year. I don't really know where this hype is coming from. I just thought it was just another article in my mind, but you know, what do I know? Also, I bet you it won't get Article of the Week in what's that thing called? New Post Review or whatever? The New Right Review or whatever? They never give me Article of the Week, I tell you that much. Probably giving it to John Doyle. Anyway, he says Lowe shouldn't still be naive about Zionism in British politics. He also says, stop wasting time and energy on counter jihad. F Hilltop says, may I mention that Blamblas has been an excellent source of information, and if more were to take after him, we'd be better off. Great job, Blamblas. Barley Water Federal says, aight, me am de gangster, dat be always de poo poo. Just banned. Don't ever send me that again. Just don't do that. Zoom says, in past several months, politically inclined friends have started rejecting your channel and analysis, stating that elite theory leaves no room for hope. They hope for the populist takeover in Sweden. Well, you've got to expect that. You've got to expect that because this is why we're in the endless go-round, because people always want the hope. They cannot accept realism. They want hope. They want delusion. And so they shall have it. Again and again and again. Nathan Hood says, why did you think Rupert's character was sound? Paul Skipper says AA is sounding like an intellectual Alex Phillips. Tell you what, that is a bannable offence for suggesting that. Come on, you've just—I've noticed that guy around before. You don't get away with that. Get out of here. Looking forward to the felly, says Futamari. Yes. To answer the question from Nathan Hurd. Look at the thing that he said in his response to Nigel, right? He said, I'm not going to fire Charlie Downs because he's a young man just starting his life. I'm not going to do that. Absolutely, that's not how I operate. It's that kind of sense of decency, right? He's decent. And I still think that about Rupert. I'm not saying that. I just think that the pressure will eventually get to a point where he'll probably throw in the towel, right? But he's still basically a decent guy, whereas Farage is through and through a snake. So I stand by my character assessment of Rupert as being basically a good chap, right? But look, they're not going to be able to bully him in that way, but they may be able to appeal to his better nature. Be like, oh, for the good of the country, for the good of the country, Rupert. It's the honourable thing, it's the dutiful thing. Do your duty as a patriot. So that's the way they'll be able to get. They'll appeal to his better nature. Something like that. So yes, people want a compost update. Well, I spectacularly failed in my quest to make the hot bin. So it's basically just become a regular compost pile now. It's still there. And the heat of this summer has probably put it up into the... Actually did make it hot compost at some point when it was like 40 degrees and stuff like that. But the fact is it's still there. And I'm starting to think that the hot bin is taking longer to compost than normal compost would. So I've kind of given up on it. You can't win everything. And that's a failed project of mine, I'm afraid. Okay, let us have a look at some super thanks, of which there have been a few as well. First of all, where's that guy who was calling me Alex Phillips? I won't have that. He's saying it's an establishment article, so of course it will get Article of the Year. This guy is, come on, sin bin for you, Paul Skipper. Let's get you, get him out of here. I can't have the. This is not like a kind of free speech platform here. Let's have a look. Where is this guy? What's his name? Paul Skipper. Get out of here, Paul. Get out of here. Why can't I catch him? There we are. Gone. There he is. Good riddance. Okay. Let us now have a look at Super Thanks. So, just a few Super Thanks this week. Marcos says, I came back to watch this again. He basically watched The Art of Calcio, Football Italia, Deepest Law 114. Came back to watch this again after I heard about Franco Baresi's untimely death. It remains among my favourite Deepest Laws. Could you bring back Furious for another chat in memoriam? Maybe have a conversation about your favourite managers too. Thanks, AA. Unfortunately, Marcos, my audience is made up of exclusively of internet shut-ins and nerds who don't know anything about football, who hate football and incessantly complain about quote-unquote sports ball whenever it's brought up. So, it wouldn't make good sense for me to make a football thing because it's the wrong crowd, frankly. If I made a stream about... different strains of chicken tendy, maybe there'd be an audience for that, because, you know, there's many people who watch this channel who are no strangers to the chicken tendy, but who absolutely come out in allergic spots if football is ever mentioned. Swickles on the Jean-Francois Lyotard lecture says, thanks for putting this series of thinkers together. It seems almost like there is an iron law of meta-narrative, much like the iron law of oligarchy is inescapable. Yep. And Ricky Ollie, lots of people have liked the video on James Burnham yesterday. And it was on this one that Ricky Ollie super thanked. And he said, I'm reminded of the eunuchs in Han China. They were believed to have no familial ambitions and thus would be loyal to the emperor, advisors, and bureaucrats. What they did instead was systematically remove all rivals, consorts, generals, Confucian scholars in the imperial court so they could have a monopoly on advising the emperor. Eventually, it got to the point where the emperor was ignorant of his own empire, believing only what the eunuchs would tell him. A populist rebellion occurred due to discontentment, and in response, the eunuchs allowed regional governors to raise armies to crush it. These warlords were then to turn their armies on the eunuchs and slaughtered them, starting a century-long civil war. A common pattern in Chinese history, since they adopted a technocratic system far earlier than the West, and a useful case study for possible futures of our system. Very interesting. Super thanks indeed. Ricky, thank you very much for that. I think that is it. So we got done and dusted in less than two hours. Unless you want me to cover anything else, do you want to actually have a look at Carl's actual video? Do you want to see some of it? Because I didn't really play any of it. Shall we have a look? I did promise Carl on the marquee. Shall we have a look? Let's have a little look. Because I've got a little bit of time here. Let's see.
But I'm aware that I have some sort of eye infection that I won't...
Carl, if you watch this, I hope your eye gets better. I did actually see your video earlier, and his eye has taken a turn for the worse. It's actually some like serious issue he's got with his eye. So I hope it gets better soon. Of course, Carl, with his millions, will hopefully go private and not try to rely on the NHS. If he relies on the NHS, he'll probably lose that eye. Right? He'll probably have to wear an eye patch like that American neocon guy if he went to the NHS. So, you know, hopefully Carl uses his millions to go private.
This morning, it's a bit painful, actually. Probably have to go see a doctor at some point this week. But for now, let's talk about this Substack from my buddy Academic Agent, otherwise known as Nima Parvini. Now, he has his detractors, and I'm not one of them. I like him. I think it's important to have critical voices on your own side because it's easy to find yourself in an echo chamber. It's easy to find yourself in a position where you think you are privy to all of the correct information and you have considered everything, and yet there could be something outside of your vision that is something that you didn't even know you had chosen to ignore. But I think that something has happened actually with AA rather than with us. Say us. The people who don't agree with him. I don't know who us is meant to be. But the people who don't agree with him on this. Because he made a prediction, and a lot of his predictions have come true, actually. His predictions have been way better than mine. My
predictions plus time, Carl. Plus time, yeah? Plus time. Remember, I wrote the article 3 days ago, so you've got to give it time.
Prediction's bad. I self-doubt too much. But this prediction was really wrong. Really dramatically wrong. And there's been a bit of an upset because of it. So as you can see, this is called Sloppulism Strikes Back. Now, this is in the wake of Rupert Lowe saying, Nigel, let's put aside our differences and work together. And AA thought, right, okay, well, that means the future of the right is British MAGA. That is essentially some kind of Israel first force. I'll save you the long and short of the article as it gets to the end. He thinks that they'll all fold into one giant British MAGA formation that swallows the Conservatives, Reform, Restore, and the compliance sections of the on the right. I myself was going to be folded into the family of faces as some sort of reform influencer. I'd be like, yeah, okay, Nige, everything's fine. And he ends with, Restore Britain has provided a brief and instructive experiment. It's demonstrated both the hunger for something harder and the extreme difficulty of building an independent organisation capable of resisting the gravitational pull of the existing parties and media. Once that experiment concluded, the path of least resistance reasserted itself. The future of the right is British MAGA. All parties will be folded into one sloppulist force. The dream of a genuine alternative is over. Well, that argument got roundly destroyed when the Telegraph decided they were going to go on a massive...
Now, consider the stream that we've just had. Does this destroy the argument? Does the fact that the Telegraph ran this story mean that what I said is not going to happen, come what may? Think about it. It doesn't, does it? A lot can happen. So the fact that this has happened is just the opening salvo in a negotiation where one side is the mafia. As I said right at the start of the stream. So I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I just want to, you know, to show that the argument, the stream, was a actual fair representation of what Carl actually said. This is basically the crux of the argument, that because this happened, I was wrong. But the tall and short of it.
And unyielding Spurgout. It's been 5 days now where the Telegraph have been pumping out article after article after article. I covered it the other day on the podcast because the Telegraph had just declared war on Restore Britain with this sort of thing because Charlie Downs had just... He didn't say this, by the way. Restore co-founder suggested Farage had been bought by Jews. That's an allegation made by the Labour anti-Semitism campaign. Anti-Semitism, I suppose.
So, if I can remember, because I watched this already, he basically just goes through, like, he starts talking about, like stuff. He goes through the story and so on. So he kind of, this part of it is not really arguing with me so much anymore because he's just covering the basics of the story. But at some point around here, he comes back to it when he starts rounding on Panama Hat, who I believe may actually do his own stream, or he actually messaged me about coming on this stream, but then he couldn't make it. So maybe Hat will do his own stream on this. I'll give him a chance to respond tomorrow if he doesn't. But let's fast forward to this bit and watch this to the end, because this is where Morgoth comes in and he just kind of, you know, we get back to the crux of the argument.
Yeah, well, there we go. Restore Britain are just evil. They're a bunch of Nazis because I'm the real liberal. Okay, well, at least we're getting it all out in the open, right? But getting back to the original point, and I watched a stream the other day with Academic Agent and Panama Hat here, and these are all people I've met and I like, right? And I'm kind of disappointed to see them have such a low opinion of us, the people who are supporters of and are involved with Restore Britain, like helping out, organising, campaigning, all this sort of thing.
Now, I will point out that there is a difference between me and Hat on this, which I will let Hat talk about in his own time, his own reasons. I feel that there is a difference between me and Hat on this. Hat seems to think that the lads in Restore aren't like a grifters or a bad faith actors in some way, or are careerists would probably be the right way to put it. And he, you know, may not think that Carl is on the level. I mean, he can speak for himself, but I think that his character assessment is quite negative. My analysis does not come from that. I do not think that the lads in Restore or Charlie or any of these people are necessarily bad faith actors. You know, I've never gone in for that. my arguments are all structural, really. Right, they're structural at the heart of it. So there is a difference between me and Hat on this, which I think is worth pointing out. But anyway, let's carry on.
Because we're their friends, and so I don't really know why they've been so blackpilled by all of this. But he says here, I'm confused by the sudden appearance of the idea that Restore, and indeed any new party solution, was or is going to work under the present circumstances. If your greatest weapon is a minor party led by a bumbling ex-Tory and some Zuma grifters, it's going, well, hang on a second, man. Right? I know all of the guys involved in, all of our guys involved in Restore. They're not grifters. They're really good lads. And to call Rupert like an ex-Tory, it's like, well, I mean, he left the Tory party in 1993, because of the European Union and the Maastricht Treaty. So it's like, and it's not like he was a member of the Tory party. Like, it's not like he was a conservative minister or something. Right? He wasn't in a conservative government. So just, anyway, it's just it, very, very strange watching the kind of elite theorist crew be really...
And here they are again, the elite theorists. The reason why I keep on bringing this up is that it's kind of, I would like my own analysis only to stand for itself, and obviously, you know, these guys make their own analyses and Hat makes his own, but it tends to, like, as is inevitable, it can try and tends to get folded in, and so some of these little differences go missing. I have never made any kind of personal assessments on, you know, the people that we're talking about here who I've met as well, and I don't see any particular reason to think that they're bad faith or whatnot, but obviously Hat disagrees, so anyway.
Dalty about this. And so, look, I just, actually, we have significant influence in this party. I speak to Rupert and Alistair very often, and I give them, you know, I honestly, a lot of it is giving them sort of pep talks, like, no, hold the line. And just to be clear, right, another thing about this, this whole great attack that Restore Britain has been under has completely harmonized the opinions of the people in Restore Britain at the moment. We're hardening, holding the line. No.
Yeah, but remember, that's what happens when there is a rally around the flag of fact, when there's an attack. People fall in. That's to be expected. As I said earlier, I don't want to repeat all my arguments from earlier, but anyway.
No one's backing down on anything. No one's apologizing for anything. We know what the media machine does. We're going to hold the line. We're going to keep our ground. So this like, oh, the no. If people were grifters or like bumbling stories, whatever, like they'd be equivocating or vacillating. They'd be like, oh, well, you know, please. No. Rupert, I mean, I should have got Rupert Lowe's tweets. Rupert Lowe's just like, no, I'm not apologizing for anything. Charlie Dan's like, I'm not apologizing for anything. We're not modulating. We're not changing our tune. This is what we believe and we are sticking to it. And for some reason, the elite theorists are like, well, you know, this is nonsense. It's going nowhere. It's like, I don't know, man. I mean, I spoke to Rupert on the phone yesterday. Apparently, the party's just passed 150,000 members. Well, that seems pretty good. And by the way, if you're not a member of Restore Britain, go and join. I'm a member. You should be a member. I am making this video as on behalf of Restore Britain because I am a member and campaigner for the party. You should become one too. We need to start actually taking some territory now. And I think Morgoth had the best read of it. And again, I'm friends with all of these guys, and I'm not trying to attack anyone or anything like this, but I think he is right, right? The elite theorist and schizo theorists, he's not calling them schizos, it's like, if you don't know, you don't know, have been proven repeatedly wrong about Restore Britain. The problem is in assuming every actor is a cynical Machiavellian self-serving arsehole, and there is no place in the analysis for oddballs, idealists, dreamers, or doddery boomers. This is not to say that Restore will sweep into power or that the folding into the mainstream will never happen, but it hasn't yet, despite myriad live streams and videos on supposedly friendly platforms predicting it. But this is where the content's predictive nature becomes toxic. Having predicted the demise or rug pull of the party, they now have an incentive to make it happen, lest their egos be damaged. Again, this is not to say that this will end. The chance of success is extremely slim, but either way, the elite theory schizo axis has done sweet fuck all to help. And this is what this is starting to sound like, right? It's starting to sound like I want to emotionally defend myself because I had something in which I, an ideology in which I truly believed, and the predictive power of the ideology has proven not to be correct in 100% of cases.
I mean, for my own stuff, I wrote the article 3 days ago, and then there was an attack on Charlie. It doesn't disprove the thesis. The thesis will be proven or disproven when the election comes. As you know, and I don't want to go through all of the arguments that I've just, but I think I adequately dealt with all those points that Morgoth made in the slideshow from earlier. If you remember, you can go back in the stream, but it was when I was talking about argument number 8, really, and this kind of area is where I dealt with Morgoth. So, yeah.
And the thing as well that I'm kind of annoyed about is there's an assumption under the elite theory that really bothers me, which is somehow like Andy Burnham and Nigel Farage are just such incredible political operators that us mere mortals could never hope to challenge them. Keir Starmer, like Theresa May, Liz Truss, like all of these people, like, no. These people are somehow chosen. It's like, no. And I can't help but notice that a lot of the elite theorists, in fact, some of the most vociferous ones, are so much further away from power, and I mean like actual people with actual power, than a lot of the people who aren't deeply ensconced in elite theory, that it seems that they just don't really know the reality of these things.
No, it's probably worth saying that Carl does not know who, you know, the quote-unquote elite theorists are in touch with, or what conversations they have, or, you know, he doesn't actually know that, does he? For sure. He's just assuming. For my own part, as Morgoth may have alluded to, I want to stay in my lane to a certain extent. I am a scholar, and therefore it won't formally get on board. You know, I'm not going to formally join something as a advisor or as an operative or something like that. I never have done at any point. I've never been part of any organization at all, any actual organization from start to finish in the past 10 years. That hasn't changed over this, but that is my own preference, because I'm aware of my skill set. Let's put it that way. I'm aware of my own skill set, as per my last article. The things that, you know, the traits that I have are ill-suited to politics in that way. You can just read that article for yourself.
Like, AA was like, oh, well, you know, why is Carl being invited on The Express and GB News? It's like, well, I can tell you why. Because I've spent a lot of time trying to make sure that I'm not being very controversial, because I want them to be able to feel they can talk to me. And it's because the producers and hosts of these shows are fans of mine. And they've been lobbying for a long time, and the more inoffensive I make myself, the more they're likely to be given the green light. And it's not like I'm going on TV or something. I'm just going on like their web shows. So it's like, you know, I guess I'm a big presence on the web, right? And so it's just like, it's not as like stage managed as you think. I just don't think that it is.
Well, I mean, what you've described is moderating to be acceptable in a mainstream space, which is exactly what the Iron Ore of Oligarchy would predict. I mean, that's just what that is what the Iron Ore of Oligarchy is, that you have to moderate to become part of the quote-unquote acceptable discourse. But let's just pretend a year down the line and there's an election pending and it's do or die for the country, and you're still appearing on said mainstream spaces, and it's between Andy Burnham and the, you know, the new Big Tent coalition. You're going to tell me, Carl, you're not going to be for the Big Tent? You're going to be for the Big Tent like you were for Trump and like you were for Boris and you know, you're going to be for the Big Ten ultimately. Let's face it. Let's just be honest about it. May not look like it now. And I'm not saying that it's bad faith. I'm just saying that when push comes to shove, that's come what may, that's what's going to happen.
Is as coordinated as it would seem to be. There are natural incentives that are going along. And we're just at the end of it. We're just, you know, this is just one of those things. And it's better for us to be in their faces making arguments than not. Put simply, I just don't think there's the level of competency and coordination that would be required for the elite theorist theories to be as they are being interpreted by those people on the right who are dedicated to them. I don't think the people in charge are actually brilliant. I don't think they are capable of pulling off.
None of it says that the people in charge are brilliant. I mean, my take on Liz Truss, which Carla would have heard 100 times, is that I think she's a normie who suddenly found out, like, somehow got herself into being the prime minister. Elite theory does not predict that any of these people are brilliant. Again, you can read the article. It in fact predicts that many of these people will be mediocrities. Why? Because the people who find themselves in these positions will be cooperative, they'll be instrumental, they'll be self-effacing, they'll be flexible, they'll be pragmatic, they'll be disciplined and loyal. They will not be disagreeable, truth-obsessed, ego-driven, principle. They may be ego-driven, but they will not be principle, moralistic, or any of those other things. And as a result, they often tend to lack brilliance. They tend to lack kind of that spark that you see that often comes with more prickly personality types. They tend to mold themselves to be what is required. So very often these operatives are not very, are, even though they have impressive positions, they're not very impressive people very often. And again, this is actually what elite theory predicts, if anybody had ever bothered to read it. I mean, it's all written there in black and white in the Populist Illusion or in the article I published just yesterday. So, yeah, I don't know why this is a point, because nobody suggests that it is the point. Nobody ever said that, you know, all of the elite theorists from Mosca, Michels, etc., think that these people who find themselves in, you know, with their hands on the leaves of bureaucracy are mediocrities very often.
Particularly impressive plans. That, although, you know, give Andy Burnham and his crew his credit, he did catapult himself into the Prime Minister's chair through a scheme. So that was quite good. But a lot of things were already laid out for him to do this. A lot of pieces were already in place. And I think that actually we can make gains if we begin campaigning as a band of an organised minority ourselves, which is what Restore Britain is. So I don't even understand why the elite theorists are so worried about this. Yeah, we've got a really based guy in Rupert Lowe. He's an MP. He's really loved in Great Yarmouth. And we're just going to crack on because he's more than happy to have us on board helping him do what we can to fix the country. I think a lot of it is fear of disappointment. I don't want to be rug pulled. I'm afraid of being rug pulled. So, yeah, me too, man. Like, you know, I've been rug pulled enough time in my life, you know. But this seems like we have actually a foot in the door.
All right. I think I kind of dealt with all these things, you know, in the course of the stream. I just wanted to show you that there was nothing that was said by Carl or anyone else that I didn't actually cover, you know, in the course of things. Cancel Culture sent a super sticker for a tenner. So there we are. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a great audience, apart from you, Paul Skipper, who is banned for life for your spamming. I don't like spamming behavior. I don't like spamming. Pick up a course at the academic agency, but most importantly of all, it's time for you to get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.